As parents, we've all made promises to our children. And as children of God, He has made promises to us. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, I'd like to read just one of those. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which, having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Why are they more than just great and better than just precious? Well, the answer is given us to this is in verse 11 of this same chapter. If you look down to verse 11 of this chapter, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So, the promise we have is to be entering into the Lord's kingdom. Well, like the promises we made our children, we use a lot of times would put conditions on them. If you clean up your room, we'll go to the zoo. And God had the same thing. "Not everyone that calleth me says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So, we have conditions as well. But He's given us a way to help us fill some of these conditions, to fill those conditions. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. The main point comes from this same chapter, is the help that God has given us. And we're going to see that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And it's written for us there, "But also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even the more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will neither stumble." I think that's where I moved off. "For this very reason," he starts out. "For this very reason," the very reason of the promise that we have been given, the kingdom. This is why you want to do these things. That's why they're great and precious promises. Because just as we're told at the end of this reading, we will never stumble. If we do these things, you'll never stumble. And that brings me to my next point. You need to notice that it's conditional. And you need to be very careful not to overlook the word. If And we need to remember, it's one little word, but remember Eve and the serpent? One little word, not. And she was taken in and lost. So, this is conditional to us. In this, there were two ifs in this. We must do these things that are mentioned in there. I have a question for you. Did you see anywhere in the words of that conditions that were there some or a few? No, it said, if you do these things, all of them. So it's conditional and they must be done if we're to inherit that kingdom. Paul's also helped, has some help for us in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians 5, we're going to look at verses 22 through 26. And there it reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. In this, we notice that there is no law against these things, God's or man's. There's no law against those things that are mentioned. Everybody would think that they are good, in other words, and that they're worth doing. And we must do them. We also can conclude from this that we have to overcome selfishness from the things that we see in this. We've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, that fleshly, selfish ways. We put it away. And live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. What you preach, you practice, or what you practice, you preach. So, we've seen a couple of these scriptures that gives us some of the tools to help us in to get to these promises. But let's look at some of the individual words that we had in there to further to define some of this. And I want to look at one of the greatest ones in there. Might seem funny, but it is knowledge. Knowledge is said that it's power. And it certainly is. If you have knowledge, you've got power. But it's not just any knowledge we need to seek, but knowledge of God and His Word. Because having knowledge of God and His will makes it easier to fight those things that we need to fight against and draw us away from Him. And this is demonstrated for us well in Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. Romans 10, 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They had a zeal, but as the Jews most oftentimes did, it was a zeal not according to the knowledge of God and the way He wanted it. His righteousness, that's what they needed to be zealous about, not their own. And Peter continues to reinforce this in 2 Peter, and we'll look in chapter 3 this time. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of your Lord Jesus, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. You've got to grow in knowledge. If we do not study, if we do not learn of God's will and ways, we can be lost. We can fall from our steadfastness. And just as a powerful tool as knowledge is, so is love. And love is the other thing that we need. With a strong enough love, we can conquer anything. We need this love for God, our brethren, and all mankind. Jesus spoke of two of these in Mark is recorded for us. Mark 12, and we'll look at verses 29 through 31. In Mark 12, 29, Jesus said, Jesus answered them, the first of all is the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. The Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like this, is, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So, we see that the greatest commandment is to love our God with our all. And our neighbor as well. And the third, we see Jesus mentioning to his disciples in John the 13th chapter and 34. In John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you also love one another. So, love is what we have for one another. And 1 John also speaks of the love that we should have for God. And we read there in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 through 6. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk just as he walked. So, if we're keeping God's word, we can have that love shown. We can see that we are loving God, and he can see that we're loving him. But John goes on to tell us of the love for one another in 1 John chapter 2, 9 through 11. 1 John 2, 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, the indication there then is that you will probably stumble because you're walking in darkness because you don't have love for your brother. Jesus said that this new commandment I give you, it's not just a thought. If you feel like it, we have to love our brothers. Love and knowledge are the greatest things that we can have that help us fight against this. And until they both grow, we're going to have problems with this. And we have problems with this because of my next point. We have these tools to help us, love and knowledge and the things that we've talked about. But there's one thing that holds us back. You know what it is? Me. Self. The one thing that holds me back is me. We've got to give up self to let these things work for us. But I can't give up my time to study God's Word because I've got whatever it may be to do that I like to do. I gotta go plant flowers, go fishing, go camping, watch some TV show, go walking, whatever it is you find pleasurable, that's what keeps us from gaining the knowledge of God that we need to. And I can't love others because I'm too busy doing whatever thing brings pleasures to me. I'm too busy with myself to be worried about loving somebody else. So, self is our biggest problem. And I have a full awareness of myself is what they say, my biggest enemy. And we have to combat that. Satan uses that to the best of his abilities. He knows that I love myself and that I'll do anything for myself. So he's going to use it. And this very trait in man is no doubt part of the reason Paul was inspired to write Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. We got to overcome self. You're only fooling yourself if you don't think selfishness is not a problem in your life. James gives us a warning about it in James 3:16. For wherever envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. There comes nothing good out of being selfish. But James didn't stop there. As we read James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you, selfishness? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members, selfishness? You lust and do not have, selfishness. You murder and covet and cannot obtain, selfishness. You fight in war, selfishness. Yet you do not have because you ask amiss. You do not ask, excuse me. And you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. You ask amiss because you're selfish. That you may spend it on your pleasures, selfishness. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore wants to be friends with the world makes himself an enemy of God. I want to finish with 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. We have to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God. That means we have to overcome the selfishness. And how are you going to overcome the selfishness? You got to grow in love and knowledge of God. Once you get the knowledge of God, God is who created us. God created this world for us to enjoy. God gave his son on a cross to die for us. Was that selfish? Any of those things? Once you learn that love, to appreciate that love that is God has had for us, then we can start to do those things that are in there and overcome selfishness. That's the whole thing. Those are the tools you got to fight with. They're there. All thing that's been given to us that we need that pertain to godliness, it's given to us. It's there. All we got to take it and use it. Give up yourself and look to it. Learn it. Learn to love it. Learn to practice it. Practice what you preach. Me too. And then that promise is secured for us. It said we'd never stumble. An entrance will be supplied to us through that method right there. That's it. And that is it. Thank you. We now have the opportunity to come forward and make things right in your life if you need to, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.